I'm Sergey, and I'm going to talk about XFabric, which is this novel in-rack interconnect. And let me talk a bit about the context. So in data centers, there is an ongoing effort towards increasing performance per dollar. That's really one of the main efforts today. And there are several ways through which this is achieved. First, we see more and more hardware that is specifically designed for data centers. So for example, all the major cloud providers are now building their own hardware. And this is because it increases performance per dollar by addressing the specific requirements of the data center workloads. And as racks are becoming units of deployment and operation in modern data centers, we have an increasing opportunity to optimize the system at the scale of an entire rack to reduce cost. And these racks are becoming higher density as well. And one of the reasons is that there is more and more functionality on CPU silicon. Various I/O, memory controllers, but also increasingly the network. For example, Intel and Oracle recently announced that they would be putting NICs directly on CPU silicon in some of their processors. And a company called Calxeda a few years ago made even a step further by collocating an entire 10 gigabit packet switch directly with the CPU. And all these trends allow for aggressive in-rack consolidation. So a standard compute rack today is about 40 servers, which corresponds to 80 CPUs. And already today, you have designs in which the density is doubled. And there are benefits in terms of cost per server for these designs. And as this consolidation goes further, we see the emergence of what we call rack-scale computers that are basically high-density rack-scale designs for data centers using extensively systems on chip. So for example, Boston Varieties is one of the early examples of rack-scale computers, and it uses the Calxeda SoC I was talking about. And they managed to put about 900 CPUs in a single rack. And at that point, the cost per CPU is very low, and the performance per dollar is very high. However, one of the challenges is the in-rack network, because you need to interconnect a very large number of SoCs while remaining within the tight resource budget of the rack and being cost-effective as well. So how do you interconnect 900 CPUs in a rack? Well, it's unlikely you can use a top-of-rack switch, because that would require a spectacular number of ports and a very high bisection bandwidth. So it's very unlikely that it's going to be cost effective. And in fact, it's not even sure that it's going to fit in the rack. It won't save you to use smaller top of rack switches and interconnect them into a multi-tier topology, because here you need even more ports just for internal connectivity between the TORs. So one of the best solutions has been proposed is to completely remove the top-of-rack switches and use the fact that each SoC has an embedded packet switch. So it's possible to directly interconnect them, forming what is called a direct connect topology, like a mesh or a torus. And at that point, the design is very cost-effective, because all the switching functionality is on the SoCs. So there is no dedicated packet switching. So we're going to focus on this design because it's so cost-effective. However, it introduces a complexity, is that basically now we have oversubscription within the in-rack network. And the question is, how do we deal with that? So now, first, let me describe you why do we have an oversubscription in these direct connect topologies. Like, here's a simple example with four SoCs, and we use two ports per SoC to connect into a ring topology. And say A wants to send a packet to D. And because it's not directly connected to D, it will have to forward its packet to some other SoC first. That's what is called multi-hop routing. And the problem with multi-hop routing is that the path length impacts performance, both in terms of latency and good put for the network. It impacts latency because there's additional delay for each hop. And also, it makes latency less predictable, because the packet can be delayed on several packet switches along the path. But it also decreases the good put, because effectively, each packet now consumes in the order of path length resources, because there are many packet switches to destination. So for example, if you have a 3D torus with 512 SoCs, the average hop count for a random workload is 6, meaning that the good put of the network will be only 1/6 of the throughput. And this happens because the topology is not well adapted to the traffic, and so we have high path length. And so intuitively, if we could have a topology that is always adapted to the traffic, we can effectively keep the path length very low and have very low oversubscription. And that's the intuition XFabric is based on. So XFabric is a reconfigurable direct connect topology that is kept adapted to the traffic by being periodically reconfigured. so that the path length is kept low and which reduces oversubscription. And for that, we rely on a very low-cost circuit-switched fabric. And the circuit-switched fabric establishes physical circuits between the pairs of ports. And when a physical circuit is established, it's as if a cable has been plugged in between the corresponding ports, because the circuit-switched fabric forwards the electrical signal along the circuit. And that's about the only thing that the circuit-switched fabric does, because it needs to remain very low cost. So there is no queuing, no packet inspection, no higher-level features. It's just about signal forwarding. And you can use that to build direct connect topologies. For example, here's the ring topology from the previous slide. And the socks will use this topology exactly in the same way. They will forward traffic on top of it. But the good thing now is that we can reconfigure the topology, for example, by putting a direct connection between A and D. And so all the traffic between A and D will have only one hop to the destination. And so the important thing here is that we don't need to reconfigure that on a per-packet basis. We just need to keep the topology sufficiently up-to-date so that the path length is low. So that's the principle of XFabric. I'm going to now describe the architecture and then focus on how much it costs. So within the rack, the main components is basically this circuit switch fabric to which all the socks with the packet switches are directly connected. And because it's a track scale, we also need to handle ingress-egress traffic. So because there is no top-of-rack switch, we have direct uplinks connected to the data center aggregation switch. And these uplinks also can, we can use circuits to establish direct connection between the aggregation switch and the socks in the rack. And that depending on the ingress-egress traffic that is observed. And all that is controlled by an in-rack controller, which is a soft state process running on one of the socks in the rack. And the controller will periodically monitor the traffic within the rack and will generate a topology that is optimized for that traffic, meaning that it will keep the path length low. And that uses a custom algorithm that is described better in the paper. And then, given that topology, it will reconfigure the data plane by changing the circuit assignments to instantiate the topology, but also updating the routing tables on the socks so that they can still do the multi-hop routing on top of the new topology. And so the controller can be restarted on failure. So again, how failures are handled is described better in the paper. So now let's focus on the cost of the fabric. So the good news is that we can use very low-cost commodity components to instantiate the circuit switch fabric. So we have a prototype with 160 ports at 10 gigabits, and that's a single 45 millimeter form factor cross-point switch ASICs. So that's electrical circuit switching. And the cost for that is about $3 per port only, which is roughly an order of magnitude cheaper than packet switching. And we expect that the maximal size for these ASICs would be around 350 ports. But the challenge is that the port count for this circuit switch fabric is quite high because we need to interconnect all the ports in the rack. So effectively, you cannot use a single ASIC. You need multiple of them. So for example, if you have 300 socks and 6 ports per sock, you would need about 1,800 ports. So for that, the only way of providing the abstraction of a single big circuit switch is to use something like a folded cloth. But the problem with the folded cloth is that it's going to be very expensive because you need a lot of ports for internal connectivity of the folded cloth. So overall, you'll pay about $30,000 just for the circuit switch fabric, which is nowhere acceptable. So a way of addressing that is intuitively by saying that there is a trade-off between reconfigurability and cost. So implicitly here, we assumed full reconfigurability, that any two ports in a rack can be directly connected by a circuit. And so for example, here, this red port will require all this red connectivity simply for being able to connect. But it is possible to restrict that slightly. And for example, have partial reconfigurability in which each port can be connected to only a subset of the ports in the rack. And here I removed most of the connectivity, and yet the red port is still able to connect to any sock in the rack. And so we leverage that intuition in XFabric And so the current implementation assumes that, for example, port zero can be connected to only port zero, but on all the socks. And for that, we need a circuit switch with only 300 ports in this example. And if we do that for all the ports, so ports one can be connected to ports one for all the socks, we end up by having, in this example, six only 300 port ASICs. And we're still able to connect any port to any other sock. We just restrict it slightly. And that reduces the cost by an order of, by about a factor of five compared to a folded cloth. So that's what we use in XFabric. So to evaluate the performance, we first look at the performance at rack scale using a simple flow-based simulator that allows us to understand the properties of the generated topologies. So we model the workload as a traffic matrix that describes the pairwise communication between the socks, and we generate a topology using the XFabric algorithm that is optimized for that traffic. And then we compare it to the same traffic matrix, but randomly mapped on a set of different static state-of-the-art topologies. And we use the size of 343 socks and 6 ports per sock simply to be able to compare to a 3D torus of the same size. So in the first experiment, we do a parameter sweep across a set of workloads with different traffic skews. And we basically mimic a VM workload, in which VMs for the same tenant communicate heavily but do not communicate with other tenants. So for that, we partition the clusters into the socks into clusters that heavily communicate with each other. And we vary the size of the cluster to change the skew of the traffic. Here's the path length in function of the skew. And we first look at the 3D torus, which is widely used in HPC and has been proposed in data centers as well. And one of the rack scale computers, the IMDC Microbox, actually uses this topology. And we can see that the oversubscription is about a factor of five. We have five hops for the path length in average. So we then tried a random topology, which is well known to have a low diameter. And indeed, it outperforms the 3D torus with only 3.5 hops. Now, if you look at XFabric, we can see that it outperforms all of the static topologies, including the low diameter one, for most of the workloads. And this is because XFabric is able to aggressively target the skew of the workload and generate a topology that is specifically adapted for the skew. And we can see that indeed, as the skew grows, it's better for XFabric and it achieves better performance. We also looked at the cost of having a restricted reconfigurability. And so we compared to a system which is basically a rack scale folded cloth. And we can see that in most, for most workloads, we actually don't see any benefit. And that's despite the fact that it costs five times more. So that shows that XFabric has a better performance per dollar. We also looked at a different workload, which we derived from a trace we have from a production cluster. It's a TCP level trace for more than 300 servers, and we generate a traffic matrix out of it, and that's the path lengths for different topologies. And we can see that here again, XFabric outperforms static topologies, and this shows that effectively real workloads have skew in them, and that benefits to XFabric. And that has been shown in different papers in the literature, this skew of the workload. Now we look at dynamic reconfiguration. So we want to answer the question, how often do we need to reconfigure the topology to have benefit? So we implemented a prototype XFabric using, effectively, we don't have socks with packet switches, so we emulate sock functionality with commodity servers. So effectively, each server has six NICs and a software packet switch that forwards packet between these NICs efficiently. And applications can use any kind of TCP/IP traffic with this packet switch, and it gets forwarded to the destination. We have 27 servers, which corresponds to 27 socks. And we have a custom PCB design for circuit switches, and we use six of them. So that's a custom PCB design, but using commodity components. So for example, the first generation has 32 ports at 1 Gbps, but we're currently in the process of deploying the second generation with 160 ports at 10G. And the question is, how frequently do we need to reconfigure? So we use the prototype with a very simple workload in which each SOC sends a set of TCP flows and the destinations are chosen just by random. However, the flow sizes follow the distribution we observe in the production workload with mice and elephant flows. And here's the completion time in function of the reconfiguration period. And we can see that as we reconfigure more and more often, the performance increases. And that's because the topology is more aggressively adapted to the workload. However, there is a downside, which is basically that every time we reconfigure, there is a probability we'll lose packets. And so if we reconfigure too often, TCP reacts badly to that. And we can see that the performance degrades again. However, luckily, these electrical circuit switches, they have a very low reconfiguration time. So for example, the first generation reconfigures in less than 20 nanoseconds, whereas the second one reconfigures in less than 70. So overall, we see a 23% improvement, which might seem modest. However, the improvement is expected to grow significantly with scale, and this 27 servers is a very small scale for a high-density rack. So to conclude, these rack scale computers are a very good way of increasing performance per dollar. And yet they're still not available. However, given the trend in data centers, they might appear over the next few years. And one of the challenges is that because of the density, the in-rack network needs to be very efficient and low cost. So what we propose is to have a dynamically adapted topology that will reduce the path lengths and keep the subscription low. And we have, we are currently deploying our new generation with at 10 gig. Thank you.
Thanks for your talk. And I'm Wei Bai from Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. So my question is, in your evaluation, it seems that you don't modify the TCP IP application. So how do you estimate traffic demand?
So we can monitor the TCP flows from the packet switch, effectively. So we have a view of synchronization packets and stuff. So we can count packets effectively to destination and build a traffic matrix out of that. So we're not asking the application to give us any information. We just look at the traffic.
Okay, I see.
Hi there. Thank you for the talk. Wonderful talk. I'm Luis Pedroza, University of Southern California. I see a lot of parallels between what you're doing here and what was done many years ago in supercomputers, where you'd have networks among CPUs on essentially the same system. And they would use, as you were pointing out, 3D Tori and all of that. And instead of sending IP packets, they would send FLITs. And in that field, they use the properties of the Torus network to create non-blocking forwarding and queues that are constant in size, I believe actually one, a single element in the queue. And I would suspect that if you were to translate something like that into a networking world, that would mean that there is no congestion and no oversubscription. But of course, it's a different field and a different application.
It's
so what
a different
is the difference?
Workload as well, right? It's,
a
it's
what?
The workload is more predictable in high-performance computing as well. They have a better view on what is running on top, so they can potentially predict things better.
Is that the only? Is that the main difference that makes this more challenging in that respect? Is it the workload?
I think that's one of the differences. Yes, because we can't make strong assumptions of what is going to run within the cloud on top of that.
And what assumption did they make then that wouldn't hold anymore?
So the HPC, they often optimize for, they have strong assumptions, they know what kind of workload they're going to have. They know sometimes the number of rounds they will have in their execution, and they can optimize things for that. That's my view.
We can talk more on it offline.
Right.
Thank you.
Hi, great talk. Matthias Valentin, UC Berkeley. I was wondering, you mentioned that the latency is around a nanosecond. Tens of nanoseconds that it takes to change the fabric. Is that right?
So that's the latency to update the core of the circuit switch.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean that we can reconfigure the whole network within 20 nanoseconds.
Okay. Do you have any numbers on packet loss that you get from what that occurs during the reconfiguration period?
So with the workloads we had, we were losing close to one packet per link per reconfiguration, effectively. So if your network is close to saturation, you will lose effectively one packet. So if you lose, basically in 20 nanoseconds, you corrupt one packet effectively.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, I'm from the Tsinghua University. You give a very nice talk. And here I've got one question that you always generate a topology at each period. My concern is that if the last period, the flow demands is quite different from the next period, then you might generate a totally different topology. So the concern is that the switching from last topology to a totally different new topology, do you have to stop all the transmissions and just wait for the new topology to be recovered?
Effectively, we don't stop transmissions. We assume that reconfiguration will happen quickly enough so that we reconverge the network without too much overhead for packets.
Okay, thank you.